Today is Palm Sunday. As a young boy, we didn't celebrate things like Palm Sunday. It was always associated with something that was more Catholic. I've come to understand that Palm Sunday is actually an extremely significant event. I want to share how significant it is. It is so important. There are many miracles in the Gospels, but they don't all appear in all four Gospels. Sometimes a miracle is talked about in two of the Gospels. Sometimes it's talked about in three. But when something appears four times in every Gospel, that is very, very significant. Palm Sunday, this event, appears in all four Gospels, and each Gospel writer writes about this particular event. Palm Sunday is about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, and people took palm branches and started to wave them. And for a moment, listen to me, this is key. For a moment in the life of Israel, for a moment in the hearts of some people, for a moment, only for a moment, for a short period of time, they recognized Jesus as their Messiah, and they recognized him as the King of Israel. I say for a short time. The religious leaders got into their heads and spoke nonsense. And by and large, Israel as a whole ended up turning their back on the Son of God. He came for them. It's very important that you understand that, because history repeats itself and humanity hasn't changed. And so this message today is about, will you recognize him for a moment, or you recognize him for eternity? Amen. This event is known as Palm Sunday. And we've put attention on the fact that people took palm branches and they waved them in front of him. And the irony is that just like the enemy, he always takes the things that are least important and gets us to focus on that, and we miss the things that are major. And while this is called Palm Sunday, honestly, the palms have very little to do with the significance of this story. While today is known as Palm Sunday, see, it fell under the power of the Holy Ghost. While today is known as Palm Sunday, there is something even more important than the fact that they waved palm branches. It has more to do with the manner in which Jesus entered into Jerusalem. I'm going to keep you in a little bit of suspense, but I want to share with you something today that is extremely powerful. And I will unfold and reveal and take out of mystery something that the enemy likes to keep hidden, but something that we as Christians need to be very consciously aware of. And so, aside from the fact that it is Palm Sunday, there's something way more crucial, monumental, revelation than the palms being waved. And we're going to read it and find out what it is. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 3, this is what Matthew says. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her side. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them. Them right away," meaning he will send them back again. All right, I need to keep my mouth watered after preaching two services and a song service. My lips are sticking together. All right, you're going to give me grace, right, as I keep taking a drink? Okay, there's nothing in the water but water. I assure you. Okay. Matthew tells this story. Jesus said, "Go to such and such a village ahead of us. You'll find a donkey with her colt. Untie them, bring them to me. Mark tells the story in chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, just like Matthew 1 to 3. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and he will send it back shortly.'" In the Gospel of John, John 12, verse 12 to 14, and then verse 16. "The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.'" Very significant. The moment they said of Jesus, "Blessed is the King of Israel," they were acknowledging that the prophets had spoken about this man. They were acknowledging that this was the Messiah. They knew that he would be the Son of God. And they called Jesus the King of Israel. Very significant. In verse 14, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. Verse 16, at first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. What John is saying is they had no clue what was going on. It seemed insignificant that he asked for a donkey, that he rode into Jerusalem, that the people said, "Hosanna, Hosanna." John is saying that we, his disciples, had no clue. We were clueless. But after Jesus died and rose from the dead in a glorified body, then it dawned on us and we saw connections in the Word of God and we started to understand how monumental and important this is. Now I'm going to read it from Luke. How many of you feel like you're being left in suspense? Luke 19, verse 28, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say, 'The Lord has need of it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus and threw their cloaks on the colt, and Jesus sat on it." Jesus was speaking prophetically. Several weeks ago, I spoke over Charlotte as I was preaching, and I stood in front of you in the row in front of you, and I stood in front of you and told her that, like she said, that her hands would be used in a powerful way and that God would use her supernaturally in a medical field. Today, we've already heard of one testimony. By the way, as I was reading this, the Lord told me to tell you to expect a lot more. That's only the first of many. Expect a lot more. Do you believe that I speak prophetically? You must do, because you practice exactly what I told you. And sweetheart, I'm speaking to you prophetically even now. Expect much more. This is the first of many. I just heard him say, you'll actually get a reputation. All right? So expect more in Jesus' name. When I spoke to you prophetically, I want you to receive that prophetic word. The healing of the Lord came on you. I want you to receive it and rejoice. And I know you are. You're a good girl. This girl is crazy about Jesus, which is awesome. We all want to be crazy about Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. But he spoke prophetically, and the disciples found everything to happen exactly like Jesus had said. And they brought the donkeys, and they put their coats on it, and Jesus sat on this young colt that had never been ridden before. I want to ask you a question. Jesus was coming as the King of the Jews. So why would he want to ride on a donkey when he could ride on a horse? Donkeys have a reputation of being stubborn, ignorant, arrogant animals. But honestly, the truth is this. The first thing you'll learn about a donkey is that it will be rebellious. It will be, stagnant. It will be stubborn. That's it, stubborn, and stand in your way. Unless you win its trust. And when you win the trust of a donkey, he will be faithful and loyal to you for the rest of your life. In fact, as I've researched about donkeys, page after page, website after website, they say that when you win the trust of a donkey, that donkey will do anything for its master. Within its ability, it will work all day, and it will be loyal even to the point of defending its owners. They have a very powerful hind legs, and farmers keep them on the property for the mere fact that when prey comes to prey on the sheep or on other farm animals, the donkey has an amazing alert system. Almost like a GPS, it knows when a predator is coming before any other animal, and he will start to eaw as a sound of precaution, and he will literally kick a coyote or a fox or a wolf. He will kick it to death to protect the other animals on the farmyard. Now, don't everyone go out and buy a donkey as a guard dog. They eat a lot. Okay. What's interesting is this was a young colt. No one had ever ridden it before. And the moment they brought it to Jesus, he trusted Jesus. And Jesus was able to ride on this young colt. No one had ever sat on it before. No one had ever ridden it. And having the nature of a donkey, but he trusted the master, and he rode the donkey, the young colt, with no incident whatsoever. But I ask you a question. Why would Jesus want to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey when, as a king, he would make a much greater statement riding into Jerusalem on a horse? Let's be realistic. Understand, here's Israel under the Roman Empire, and there were centurions riding regal horses all the time up and down the street, showing the power and the might of the Roman Empire. Why didn't Yeshua, the King of Israel, come riding on a horse? Why would he choose a lowly donkey? According to discoveries and archives that they dug up in Babylon, in a city called Mari, M-A-R-I, Mari, they found that donkeys in that period of time were often associated with royalty, and donkeys were used in palace-type ceremonies, royal ceremonies. But we're not going to hinge our belief system on some archives found in Babylon. While historically this gives us evidence and relevance that they were used in royal celebrations, there's an incident even in the Word of God. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 32, David is about to die. He's old, and he wants to anoint his son Solomon to be the next king because he just learned that one of his other sons had anointed himself and was telling people that he's the king of Israel and Judea. And so Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, came to the king, and so did Nathan the prophet, and they told him what was happening. And this is where the story takes on real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 32, King David said, call in Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah son of Jehoiada. When they came before the king, he said to them, take your Lord's servant with you, and have Solomon my son mount my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. And there have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him as king over Israel. So when Solomon made his debut, he came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Blow the trumpet and shout, long live King Solomon! Then you are to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. I have appointed him ruler over Israel and Judah. Now, Jesus knew what was going on. He is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing that was created without him. Jesus knew what was happening. He is the spirit of prophecy. But even the disciples didn't understand the prophetic significance of what was going on. John, to his own discredit, writes and testifies and says, we didn't have any clue until after Jesus died and rose again, and then suddenly it all started to make sense. You see, the religious world puts the emphasis on Palm Sunday. I want you to understand, and I will explain why in a moment. It's the more important thing was that it was Donkey Sunday. I'll tell you why. Stay with me, and I will show you from Scripture the massive, massive importance of why Jesus came riding on a donkey. Are you suspicious now? Are you curious now? Okay. But why a donkey? Why would a king ride on a donkey? It signified that the king was coming to that town in peace. You see, the custom of the Middle East in that time period was that a king would ride into one of his cities, but he wouldn't ride in on a horse. He would ride in on a donkey because it meant he was coming in peace. And while he is king, he would ride a donkey because he is making the statement, I am royalty, but I am here to serve the nation. Whatever nation it was, the king became the servant to serve the nation for the highest and best good of that nation. And so this was custom, that kings would ride into their own towns and the people would be put at ease and they would see the king in a different light. They knew he was royalty, yet he came to serve the needs of the nation and serve the needs of the people. And so Jesus, the King of all kings, came riding in on a donkey, a beast of burden. And this donkey carried the burden of Christ, and he came on this lowly animal to make the statement, while I am king, I have come to serve the world. It gets a lot deeper than this. Are you ready for more? So it was important for Jesus to come riding on a donkey, because the king rides into his town on a donkey. It means he's coming in peace. He's not coming in war. Here's another interesting fact about a donkey. There are many different types of donkeys, and virtually every donkey has a cross on its back. This is true. This is not a fable. I've researched it over and over again. I'm live on the internet. I don't want to end up saying something that isn't actually a fact. This is biologically true. Virtually every donkey. There is a type of donkey called mammoth donkeys. They're the biggest donkeys in the world. They were actually raised by George Washington, one of our former presidents. He was doing it on the side as a hobby, and it led to leading to a particular breed of donkeys called mammoth. They can be as tall as 5 feet tall. But there are some donkeys that are miniature donkeys. And the smallest donkey that ever lived was just 25 inches. Amazing, isn't it? And yet, every donkey has this peculiarity. And Lynn, I used you in the first service. And the fact that I'm using Lynn has no bearing on the fact that I'm talking about a donkey. Okay? But on every donkey, down their spine runs a straight line. And then over its front legs, there's a horizontal line. It has the shape of a cross. Now you can say to me, well, I've not seen that before. The truth of the matter is, it is there virtually on every donkey. And depending on the color of the donkey will determine how much that cross stands out. On some darker colored donkeys, it's not as obvious. And they say as a donkey gets old, sometimes it becomes less visible. But here's the fascinating fact. That if you shave all the hair off the donkey, remember I'm not talking about Lynn. I could get in trouble here. I could feel the back hoof about to kick me. As you shave all the hair off the donkey, this is so ingrained on the donkey that literally the cross is in the pigmentation of the skin. Interesting, isn't it? I've researched it to make sure this was a fact and not just hearsay. This is a biological fact. So, of course, science says, well, it was a genetic thing that evolved so that it would be camouflaged from other animals. The only problem is you can only see it from on top. So the theory falls flat on its face. Now, I'm not saying that God put it there, but I am saying this. Before the foundations of the world, Jesus had already decided to go to the cross and die for fallen man. What's the possibility that the God who created every animal chose that donkey, that the Savior of the world would ride on him and he'd be marked forever with the sign of a cross? I'm not making a doctrine out of that, but I am telling you this is a fact. And you can go home and research it. I think I mentioned this a few Sundays ago, and somebody came back and said, it's true, it's true. I didn't believe it. It's true, I researched it, but it's true. Here's another thing. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, the prophet prophesied that the Messiah would come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Listen to this. Rejoice, Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. That's Jerusalem. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew he was fulfilling prophecy. But what's interesting is that the prophet shouts, he says, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, your king is coming. Just like the disciples had no idea until after the fact, the people came with palm branches and they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of Israel. And they had no idea they were fulfilling prophetic scripture. The Spirit of God stirred the people and they were looking for Jesus and they came. And for a moment, for a short time in history, they hailed him as the King of Israel. A king rides a horse when he goes out to war. When a king comes riding into a town on a horse, it's very different than he comes riding on a donkey. When he comes riding on a donkey, he's coming in peace. But when he comes riding on a horse, he comes to bring judgment. He comes to bring war. He comes to bring vindication. And so when a king goes out on his horse, the horse is reserved for war. But the most common form of transportation was donkeys and camels. The king got on his horse not for royal ceremonies. He got on a donkey for royal ceremonies. The horse was reserved with its strength for when he was going out to war and he was going to bring judgment on a city or on another nation. Now I'm going to continue the story in Luke. We left off on verse 35. I'm going to pick up on verse 36. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I'm going to take a sidestep here for a moment. It says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Everyone look at me. Praise and worship, whether you like it or you don't, it is a very spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing. And sometimes we don't give enough credence and weight to the praise and worship. The praise and worship isn't an appetizer for the word to come. Some people say, "I'm going to skip the appetizer, I just want the word." You don't understand. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, and this is what he said. Listen to me. This is what Jesus said to the Pharisees. "You are of the devil. You are of the devil, who is your father. He is the father of lies." Jesus said of the Pharisees, "You're not entering the kingdom of heaven, and you are blocking up the gateway to heaven, and you're stopping other people from entering in." So here Jesus is riding on a donkey, and the people are getting excited. They're getting loud. They're getting exuberant. And religious Pharisees, whose father is the devil, Jesus said it, his words, not mine, are telling Jesus, "Tell the people to be normal. Tell the people to be quiet. Tell the people not to get excited." I want to tell you, if you know who Jesus Christ is, if you understand that Jesus Christ is God and he came to earth to die for you, there's nothing to be quiet about. This is the single greatest thing that has happened in the history of humanity. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my God. He is the highest and the greatest. No other name comes even close. And so when it's time for praise and worship, it's time for every Christian to tell the devil to go to hell and say, "You're not going to stop my praises." You know what Jesus went on to say? If they don't praise me, the rocks will praise me. I don't want any rock to outpraise me. Yeah. Church, what we do here, did you see what happened today? Did you see what happened today? The worship took off, the power of God came down, and suddenly the spirit of prophecy came over me. People started getting touched. People started getting healed. Prophetic words came out. Then Tina tells me, my sister's got a testimony. I had no idea what she was going to say. I'm praying in tongues. God, let it be good. Let it be good. Let it be good. I trusted Tina, though. But we saw the fulfillment of a prophetic word and a miracle happened. How many of you got your faith stirred up? Praise prepares the atmosphere for the supernatural. You could have natural church and come in here and let the weight of the world be on your shoulders and just clap out a tune. Or you could come in here and understand every Sunday You are coming into the presence of the Almighty. And every Sunday, it is an honor for us, no matter how tired we are, no matter what happened in the last 24 hours, it is our honor, it is our privilege to come in this place and be excited and to give glory to Jesus Christ and to tell the devil to go to hell where he belongs. You have my permission to tell the devil to go to hell. He's the only one you're allowed to tell to go to hell. Everyone else we want to take to heaven. Can I get an amen? Amen. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what happened in the last 24 hours. When I come here, I'm going to rip my skin open. I want my spirit to jump out. I want to make a joyful noise to the Lord. I want to bring down the presence of God. And I want religious demons to run the hell out of here. Come on! Jesus said, if they don't praise me, the rocks will praise me. Verse 41, really important. Muy importante. Verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. You see, for a moment, they waved their palms, branches. For a moment, they said, he's the king. Hosanna. For a moment. Don't let your relationship with Jesus be a short breath of air. If you don't know Jesus personally and you don't understand why people are getting excited, then after when I finish preaching, you need to raise your hand and accept Jesus in your heart. Because when the Spirit of God comes inside of you, you can't be quiet. You're going to make noise because he is worth everything. Now I understand. I'm extra loud because I'm an Italian and I'm a New Yorker. Don't hold it against me. And I'm not asking you to be loud the way I'm loud. Maybe you're shy. Maybe you're quiet. Maybe you're that little wallflower, a church mouse. I want you to be as loud as your personality will let you be. I want you to be 100% in your praising of the Lord, okay? I want you to be exuberant to the max ability of your exuberance. I'm not asking you to be me. I'm asking you to pull out the plug, pull out the cork, pull out all the stops, and let it rip when it comes time to worshiping the King of Kings. I don't care if you're into music. I don't care if you're not into music. I really don't care. It's not an excuse. Don't tell me I'm not musical. Well, I'm not in. Hear me. It's spiritual. It's so spiritual that religious demons told Jesus to tell everyone to stop. Praise will change the atmosphere. You cannot have a revival without prayer, and you will not have a revival without praise. Praise changes the atmosphere. And so when we come together, let's create an atmosphere that will encourage and invite the supernatural of God. Can I get an amen? As he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, Jerusalem, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. Isn't it ironic? He's riding in on a donkey. It meant peace. And the people are fanatical for a moment. For a moment. And then Israel as a whole turned its back on their own Messiah. You know, when Jesus rode in on a donkey, In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves each and every one of us. I don't care what you've done wrong. I don't care what you've done right. It's not my wrong deeds or my right deeds that will give me a relationship with God. It's my humility and asking Jesus to come into my life that will give me a relationship with God. But I don't care what you've done wrong. You could be the worst of the worst. You could have been a horrible person. God so loves the world that he came in the flesh, in the form of Jesus Christ, and he died on that cross so that if anyone would let him in their lives and embrace him and love him and worship him, God will not reject one person, irrespective of how long the list of your sins are. Santa might not come to your house, but Jesus will. Praise God. Listen to me. Listen to me. Jesus wept. He said, if you only knew what would bring you peace. Friend, I want to tell you that if you accept the Savior who rode on a donkey, who carried the burden of the Savior, who 7 days later carried the burden of a cross and the sins of the whole world. Every one of your sins he carried on his cross. Every one of your sins is engraved in the whip marks on his back. Every one of our sins can be found in the holes in his hands and in the holes of his feet. John 3:17 says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. You see, as Gentiles, we understand that on one level, but Hebrew people understand it as another, on another level, because Jesus, the Messiah, they knew was going to come twice. They knew he was coming twice from the prophets. Jesus came here in this situation, and he lived on earth. But when he comes again, when he comes a second time, and he is coming a second time, the Bible says he's not coming on a donkey, he's coming on a horse. Because when he comes a second time, he's coming to bring judgment on the world, and judgment will come. Are you hearing me? In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, it says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and by the way, that's his own blood. And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came the first time on a donkey. But prophetically, he's coming a second time on a horse. And when he comes on that horse, it's to bring judgment on the face of the earth because of their rebellion and their refusal to acknowledge him. In Luke chapter 19, I'm going to pick up the story, same chapter. In verse 43, Jesus went on to say, the days will come. He starts to prophesy. He said, the days will come upon you. He's talking to Jerusalem. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, and they will encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God coming to you. Jesus is riding on a donkey. He comes in peace. He came to save the world, not condemn the world. The second time he comes, he's coming with the condemnation of judgment. And he comes on a horse. And Jesus prophesies to Jerusalem. And he says, because you've not recognized the coming of your God. I don't know what brought you here today. Maybe you came with a friend. Maybe you came with a relative. Maybe you were driving by and something told you you needed to check this place out. I want to tell you, you are here so that you will have an opportunity to recognize the coming of God to you today. Jesus prophesied this about Jerusalem. In 70 AD, approximately 30 years to 35 years after Jesus was crucified, the Roman Empire were tired of the Jewish people, and they circled the city of Jerusalem, and they burned it to the ground. Only 30 years after Jesus prophesied this. Josephus, a Hebrew historian, writes, and he says, I believe that Israel has fallen, Jerusalem has fallen, because they rejected the holy man named Jesus. 30 years later, his prophetic words come to truth. And from that moment on, the temple was destroyed, Jerusalem was destroyed. They never set a foot on the land for 2,000 years. They were dispersed across the face of the earth. And they lived like strangers in other people's lands. And the Bible prophesies that they will be persecuted and that they would be tormented by other nations as a judgment. But the Bible also prophesies that one day God will bring them all back to Jerusalem. And the prophet says, is it possible? In one day, God will give birth to a nation. And in 1949, the League of Nations recognized Israel as a nation, and they came home. The prophecies of God are always accurate, and they are always true. And I say that to say this, Jesus is coming back. You may not be a religious person. You may not understand scriptures. But the Bible says Jesus is coming back. Jesus himself said he's coming back. You've seen the accuracy of prophecy in this meeting today. But you can also see the accuracy of prophecy in the Word of God. In fact, Daniel, a prophet from the Old Testament, prophesied about 69 weeks and a second week. And each week represents 7 years. And Daniel says from the decree of King Artaxerxes that Israel could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, from that period forward, a time clock is going to start counting down. And Hebrew Christians have done the calculations on their Jewish calendar, and the 69 weeks of years comes down to the very day that Jesus put himself on a donkey and rode into Jerusalem. Bible prophecy is true. Jesus Christ is coming back again. My question to you is this. Are you going to know him as the king who came on a donkey? Or will you only meet him when he comes as a king on a horse? Would you stand with me? It doesn't matter how many times you've been to church. It doesn't matter what church you've been baptized into. This coming Friday is Good Friday. We're going to have a night of worship. I encourage you to come. We're going to have a baptismal tank here. Over 20 people are getting baptized in water. You're not getting baptized into grace and faith. I can't save you. This church can't save you. No church can save you. I'm sorry that religion lies. Religion tells you things that aren't true. The only way to be saved, the only way to have a relationship with God is by being honest and opening up your heart and saying, God, I screwed up. I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I want Jesus Christ to live in me, and I want to have an ongoing relationship with Him. He's not the God of denominations. He's not the God of religion. He's the God of individuals who will say yes to Him and allow Him to come into their heart. The people of Jerusalem recognized Him for a short period, but in the end, by and large, they had rejected their own Messiah. And according to Jesus' own prophecy, 30 years later, Israel ceased to exist as a nation. Ceased to exist. Jerusalem was no longer inhabited by Hebrew people. They were dispersed around the world until a crazy man named Hitler came and he decided he would eliminate every Hebrew person, every Jewish person. He was on a madman's maniac march to destroy every living, breathing Hebrew until God opened the door and recognized, had the nations recognize Israel as a nation. Jesus said, when the fig tree blossoms, His disciples asked Him, when are you coming back? He said, when the fig tree blossoms. He said, that generation that sees Israel become a nation, when that fig tree blossoms, that generation won't pass before the Son of Man comes back. He's coming, and He's coming soon. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. I love the fact that you're here today. And I love the fact that you've paid attention to me. But it's not me that I crave your attention. I crave that you will hear the word of the Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if it hasn't become personal, if your hope or trust is in a man or a religion, I'm sorry, somebody lied to you. It's only a relationship with Jesus Christ. I love the fact that God is going to take people from every denomination, and some will make it and some won't, but the ones that will make it are the ones who truly have a relationship with Jesus. And it's not an excitement that lasts for a day. It's an excitement that lasts for a lifetime. Are you with me? Every eye closed. As I come to the conclusion today, I want to ask you a very important question. It might sound simplistic, but the weight of it is very important. Will you know Jesus as the one who rode on a donkey? Will you know Him as the one who came to be the Savior of the world? Will you know Jesus who came to carry your burdens just like a donkey, a beast of burden? Jesus came, He said, those that are heavy laden, those that have got burdens, those who have got worries, those who have got addictions, bring your problem to Me and trust Me. Will you know Him as the King who rode on a donkey, who comes to bring you peace? I want to tell you, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ, not religion, Jesus has come to set us free. Jesus has come to breathe this breath of God into our lives. Jesus has come to take our mess and turn it into a message and make a miracle come out of that message. Do you know Him as the King who came riding on a donkey? Because if you don't, you need to make that decision. Because the truth is that just like every prophecy has come true so far, one day soon He's coming back, but He's coming back on a horse. He's coming to bring judgment on the earth. You only have to watch the news 5 days a week, 1 week, and you'll know that there is enough sin on the face of the earth. We should all get wiped out, but for the grace of God. Amen. With every eye closed this morning, we put the attention on Palm Sunday, but the attention is He came on a donkey. This is the year of God's favor. This is the time for salvation. When this time period ends, He comes on in the clouds on a horse, and another short time period starts. It's a time period of judgment. Let Jesus be your friend. Let Jesus be your Lord and Savior. Let Jesus Christ come into your heart. He died on that cross to pay the price, the penalty, the judgment for everything I've done wrong and for everything you've done wrong. No one will ever offer you more than Jesus Christ. So while every eye is closed, if you want to ask Jesus into your heart, not religion, not grace and faith, you want to ask Jesus into your heart and you want to have relationship with Him, while every eye is closed, raise your hand right now. Come on, say yes to Jesus. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, raise your hand here this morning and say, count me in. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you. I see that hand. Are there other hands? You know the Spirit of God is touching you. This isn't a show. The Spirit of God is talking to you. You need to know Him personally. You need to say yes to Him. Anyone else? One hand went up. Is there another? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you know Jesus as the King who rode on a donkey? Come on, give Him a hand if you know Him as your Lord, as your Savior, as your God. Thank you, Jesus. For those that did raise their hands, we're going to pray. And we're going to invite Christ into our lives to be our Lord and Savior. I want everyone to pray this prayer. But if you raise your hand, then especially God is reaching for you. Close your eyes and pray with me. Come on, church. Dear God, I thank you for loving me and caring about me. Jesus Christ, I believe you are God, and you died on that cross for my mistakes, for my sin. Jesus, I'm ready to accept what you did for me. I don't want religion. I want a relationship with you. I've sinned. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've screwed up. Jesus Christ, forgive me. I want you to come into my life now. Today, and I want you to live with me. I want to grow in love for you. I welcome you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for dying on the cross. I receive you, and I thank you for receiving me. Father God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe and I receive Him from this day forward. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Church, I want you to move forward into this holy period. He came on a donkey. This is the year of God's favor. But a year of God's judgment, a day of God's judgment is coming. Let's start to cultivate that spiritual hunger and push into our prayer closets and go after God. Because what God did today, He can do 10,000 times more. Amen. Are you ready for it, church? Amen. Come on, turn around, give someone a hug, give someone a high five, greet each other, and let's run after God.